5950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday. Good to be with you, Matt and Sam here today. Hey, Sam.
Hello.
I just realized this is like my first full week of radio shows in over a
month. Labor Day and the vacation. And
well, it's a vacation. I left a day early for that. Yeah, so it's, oh, man. Man, I can't believe how. Man, I've got to work 5 days this week. I can't believe. Good to be with you. Actually, my absolute privilege to be with you 5 days this week. I have really got a lot to get to today. As a matter of fact, a little bonus time with you coming up here on Thursday. I want to start off with that. They got the DFL, or I call it the Democratic presidential nomination. If they're all in Minnesota, we're the DFLers. But the Democratic presidential candidates, they are, of course, going to be debating coming up here on Thursday, September 12th at the Park Tavern in St. Louis Park. You can come watch the debate with us. Now, if you've never been to one of the St. Louis Park Tavern debates, I encourage you to join us coming up here. It is great fun. They put out some great appetizers. Plus, on top of that, you can take advantage of Park Tavern drink specials, as well as also their great menu they've got there. Lots of progressives are going to be there. We'd love to have you there. I'll be there. The repertoire crew is going to be there. We would love to see you out there. So it is, once again, comes up at the Park Tavern this Thursday. Now, the debate starts at 7. We're probably going to open the door somewhere around 6:30 or so. And so if you want to join us, please do. Go to the website for ticket information. That's am950radio.com, am950radio.com. Get your tickets. You have to get a ticket to get in. So we hope to see you there coming up here on Thursday night. I'm really looking forward to it. It's because, once again, I do not view my job in any capacity to tell you who to vote for. I just don't. That's what the Republicans do, and as a matter of fact, maybe I'll start off with that story. But that is, I do not believe that is my job. You are supposedly intelligent people, so go and make your own choices. So go evaluate what resonates with you. Do you like, one candidate, another candidate? By all means. And just remember this, when it's all said and done and we're down to that one final candidate, that's the person. And as a matter of fact, it was interesting. I was talking to some 20-something-year-olds, young 20-something-year-olds, too, who were just fairly viciously bashing on Biden. And they're, because they're either Bernie fans or Elizabeth Warren fans, and they're just bashing on Biden. And I said, well, Biden right now is a front runner. What happens? I said to them, point blank, what happens if Biden wins? He goes, oh, I 100% am voting for Biden. There's no way on the planet I'm going to allow Trump another term in office. So that's the right attitude. That is. You can make your case for your person, but if your person doesn't win, make sure you just back the Democrat, because the only way Trump wins again is if the Democrats get divided again. And trust me, the Republicans are the ones who are going to be pushing that meme the hardest. They are. Because they're desperate to get a large portion of the Democratic Party to stay at home. Because if all of a sudden, out of that 110 million people that did not vote in 2016, that were registered voters that stayed at home, if 30 million of those people show up, the entire House, Senate, every state legislature, it's all going to be Democrat. And they know it. So they desperately got to find ways to keep you guys at home. So they're going to start planting the seeds. I mean, I pointed out this weekend a person, a troll on one of my social media accounts, who was out there making the point of, I used to be for a Democrat, but for reasons, I now support Trump 100%. I'm like, no, you don't. No, you don't. And it didn't help that her profile picture looked like, Hungarian village woman. It's like a 60-year-old woman, like, I'm carrying sticks. It's like, that's okay. You used to vote for Democrats over in outside of the Budapest area. Okay. All right. Whatever. Make your decision. Join us on Thursday, Park Tavern. It is good fun. Phil and the guys over at Park Tavern just do an amazing job. Have fun with us at the Park Tavern coming up this Thursday night. am950radio.com, am950radio.com for more information. Which, I mean, let me segue into, since I brought that up first, let me segue into something which this is more of a criticism of the press than it is the Republicans. This is who the Republicans are. Let's just face it. When I get through the story, you'll say, wow, the Republicans are bad. But this is who they are. This is who they have become. This is them. This is who they are. The Republicans are currently have canceled four of their primaries. Four of them. Arizona, Kansas, Nevada, and South Carolina are all canceled. Now, this is a little bit surprising because there are three other candidates as of right now running against Trump for the Republican nomination. And as frantically as Fox News and some of these, and Breitbart and, you know, like War Eagle television or whatever the damn thing is, as much as they're insisting there isn't any, you know, challengers, there are. The most respectable of them all is probably former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld, who I get 100% how he's running. And by the way, let me say something about Weld. I kind of, to a point, like the guy. He's not a bad guy. He ran Massachusetts as a Republican, but reminder, New England Republican would be, you know, a Tom Bach Democrat here in Minnesota. I think that that's a pretty safe bet. And this is a guy that, you know, he understands the value of the government being involved in social programs. And of course, Massachusetts has a fantastic healthcare system out there. So, you know, Weld is you know, his idea is a good one if the Republicans were the Republican Party of the 1980s. The party today, even that first person, that first Republican right across the line, you just stepped over the line from Democrat, you're into Republican. They're so blindly loyal to Trump. The minute it's a blood oath they've got to swear. And so you could have someone who is a Republican who is more open to social issues and doesn't want to condemn gay people and you know, doesn't feel necessarily abortion should be illegal. You could have a moderate Republican, but they're you know, to be part of that Republican Party, you have to be swear a blood oath to Trump. So his idea is strong that there is a lot of moderate Republicans out there, Arne Carlson-esque of the nature, who might be looking for another candidate. Although, you know, I just don't know how much of that element of the Republican Party exists. The other two are running. Former Republican Governor of South Carolina, Mark Sanford, who, by the way, his own state party kiboshed their own primary because they were concerned he would actually show pretty well in South Carolina. They actually said that. They're claiming, oh, we saved $1.2 million. No. They were terrified. They don't want to be the state primary where Trump, an opponent of Trump, was given validity. They don't want to be that. And what is validity? I mean, in this day and age, if 8, 9, 10% of the Republican voting bloc voted for a third party candidate, or excuse me, a second party candidate within the Republican Party, I would have to make an argument that they would have to start including that person within the rest of the Republican debate. There'd have to be debates between him and Trump. I mean, it would probably be, you know, you'd be looking at Kennedy versus Carter in 1980-esque sort of thing. When was Ed Kennedy, I believe, Edward Kennedy ran against Carter, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly. But that's what they're terrified of. So they don't want to have a Republican primary because they already know. It's not because that they feel as if Trump would lose. They just don't want to give validity because at what point do all of a sudden do you say, well, he got 14%, then he gets 16%, all of a sudden he's at 18%. You know, that's a big deal. So Sanford is in. Now, mind you, Sanford has no chance on a national ticket. This is the guy that was having an affair with his Brazilian girlfriend. And when he was missing from office, his office's official response was he's hiking the Appalachian Trail on what was affectionately naked hiking day in America, which, the Daily Show had some fun with that one back then. I remember that. So the other challenger is former Illinois Representative Joe Walsh, who is of that far Republican ilk, but he is not a Trump fan because he feels as if all the hard work the Republicans have done to get to the point of power they've had are being undone by Trump. So, but at the same time, he has been a vocal critic of him, and he does not want to, you know, take sides. So what do you have? You have former state governor, another former state governor, former Illinois House rep. Those are legitimate contenders. It's not just some guy who works as the financial officer at some company who wants to run. It's not some billionaire who just wants to put his name out there. But yet you have four states who have said, We're not even going to have a primary against Trump. Now, here's where, I mean, this is who the Republican Party is. I mean, this is who they are. But can I call out the press here once again? You guys spent years, and once again, I'm not going to get into the debate. I've already multiple times addressed the fact that Bernie Sanders lost the Democratic nomination in 2016 because he did not take the southeastern United States seriously. And he got destroyed in Georgia and Mississippi and Alabama in those Democratic primaries in those states. And I kept hearing over and over again, Democrats saying, well, those states don't matter. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And they did. He just chose not to. If he would have put in a minimal effort down there, my guess is he would be the Democrat. He probably would be the president of the United States. But he completely put no effort into Florida, South Carolina, Tennessee, North Carolina. Didn't care. And that, regardless of superdelegates or anything else, that was the deciding factor. If you just go look at the numbers, when he was getting walloped, I think it was 92-8 in Mississippi. That meant that pretty much every delegate went to Hillary Clinton. And you doing a 50-50 split in this state doesn't offset that. And so, you know, I know people out there just don't want to believe it. It's the truth. It is. But what did the media keep fueling? Oh, Bernie fans still think he got robbed. Bernie fans still think he got robbed. Was the process fair? Oh boy, oh boy. Looks like Hillary Clinton has basically screwed over the progressives. That was the narrative. That was their narrative. How come there hasn't been a freaking peep from the same national media about a far more, and once again, that was a case where they were trying to create news. I mean, if you just looked at the numbers, Jeff Stein and I noticed in early March, and I said to early March of 2016, go back and listen to the show. I said to him, if he doesn't compete in the South, how is he going to win? And Jeff says, I have no idea. Ta-da! They were trying to create conflict. They were trying to create news stories. They enjoyed it. This is a far more egregious crime in the realm of elections. Just canceling primaries outright because you're too afraid to allow your guy to go up against a different Republican. And do I really think that any of these three, Sanford or Weld or Walsh, could really knock off Trump? No, I don't. I think there is just too much blind loyalty to them. But you at least have the process. You respect the process, right? That was the whole thing. Oh, the super delegates, that's not respecting Bernie Sanders. Well, at least we had primaries and caucuses on the Democratic side. I don't remember any state canceling a primary and just awarding their votes to Hillary Clinton. And so just by your own standards, the media's own standards, they should be going crazy about this. They should be talking about how the Republican Party is trying to stifle these other candidates, the moderates of the party. They're trying to stop these other people from campaigning. Nothing. Nothing at all. You know, it really is. When I started doing the show, I did not want to become that guy. I did not want to be the guy that's like, they're disrespecting us again, sir. No, I'm not. I'm baffled at this point at how biased the media has become. And I pointed it out here in the state over and over and over and over again. You know, you have actual threats from Republicans to Democrats in the state. I mean, actual viable threats against Democrats from Republicans. Nothing. But Ilhan Omar, oh my God, front page above the fold, oh my God. You have, you know, Keith Ellison, the Star Tribune, goes in and rips open his divorce proceedings, teamed up with some far-right news source because under their fake piety of the press needs to know, they're hoping to catch dirt, and they find out that Ellison was protecting his ex-wife. Proud moment in journalism there, Star Tribune. But, okay, fine. If that's your standard, how many times have you tried to go to court to open up the financial dealings that allowed Kurt Dowd to have his credit card debt forgiven by a law firm as he became Speaker of the House. Because you know what? If you're concerned about the public good and the public having a right to know, knowing how the Speaker of the House's credit card debt got forgiven overnight in a very shady process, that would qualify. And as a matter of fact, I'd make an argument, it's probably much more of an interest to the day-to-day operations of government, as well as the constituents of Minnesota, than what happened in a divorce proceeding. But has the Star Tribune done anything there? Of course not. So here we are yet once again. When there's a conflict on the Democratic side, it's, oh my God, oh my God. When it's when the Republican side is actually dismantling democracy to basically put an autocrat back in power, nothing to see here. I don't, you know, football season started, guys. Did you see football season started? Come on, man, it's football season. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break, Sam. Come on back. Some interesting weekend observations and a little bit of a recap from Friday's show as well when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Our climate is in crisis, and it's time we talk about what we can do for our future. So let's talk about solutions at the 55th Annual Nobel Conference, Climate Change, Facing Our Future. It takes place September 24th and 25th at Gustavus Adolphus College. 7 leading thinkers address climate change, inviting you to consider what tools are available, what research efforts do we require, and what kind of people do we need to be to conceptualize and address global climate challenges. You are invited to consider how the changes to the Earth's climate system are vast, without precedent, and of such magnitude and scale as to potentially alter life itself. There will be over 4,000 people on campus for the Nobel Conference discussing these issues. You're invited to attend one or both days to experience the presentations and Q&A. There's even a live stream you can watch. So let's talk about causes and consequences of climate change and our responses to the challenges it presents to us as individuals and as a society at the Nobel Conference. Again, it takes place September 24th and 25th at Gustavus Adolphus College. Full schedule and tickets at gustavus.edu/Nobel Conference.
A fantastic lunch is waiting for you at Milton's, 36 and Douglas in Crystal. Start with their delicious wings, Milton-style, buffalo, barbecue, or naked. Or try their famous barbecue rib nachos. They've got great lunch options, like their grilled sandwiches, the ribeye, the chicken, and the portobello mushroom. Try the fantastic fried egg with asparagus and ciabatta, and their jerk chicken sandwich. Or change it up with a Milton's Cobb salad, a chopped jerk chicken salad, or their warm and satisfying soups. Lunch today will be delicious if you head to Milton's, 36 and Douglas in Friendly Crystal.
Hey, this is your favorite producer, Eric. I'm here with Hunter, your other favorite producer. And we've got a new show on Saturdays at 7 p.m.
So tune in for Mission Accomplishers, the podcast-broadcast hybrid hosted by the fellas.
You'd be amazed at what we can accomplish. We'd love for you to check it out and subscribe on your favorite podcast app.
What missions have we accomplished?
We're working on it.
So tune in every Saturday at 7 p.m. for Mission Accomplishers and find out.
I put the program in place to protect the country.
Get guaranteed appliance savings from Minnesota's own Warner Stallion. Here's our winning lineup. Warner Stallion sells more brands than anyone. Their specialists help you choose what's best for you. Easy and fun. And the savings, they're guaranteed. Then save more with Warner Stallion's trusted, fast, free delivery, professional installation, and free haul away. Join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners. Choose Warner Stallion to be your appliance specialist before September 11th for unbeatable appliance savings. Warner Stallion.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. So, Sam, I don't know if you caught any of the show on Friday. We were talking about the story out of Independent School District 1112, I think it is. It's the East Carver County, Chaska. And the unbelievable stories of racism that are coming out of that school district. I mean, just disturbing. And as a matter of fact, I've had two people talk about the school district saying, oh, it's worse. It's the day-to-day stuff. This is just the bad stuff that gets out. That the day-to-day stuff that's going on in these schools is even worse. And a lot of times it's actually being encouraged by the either the inaction
or just maybe the encouragement of faculty and staff. At least that's the story I was hearing. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but needless to say, they've got a laundry list of issues down there.
I wouldn't be surprised. The systemic racism, not just the individual basis, but being encouraged by everybody.
They had put a picture of a child in blackface in the yearbook 4 months ago. 4 months ago. Actually heard from two other friends who had lived in Chaska. Both had moved out of Chaska, and both basically, if I can paraphrase, that's the racist town in this entire metro area. That's the exact words. He said that is the racist town. One guy said he was at one of these local chain restaurants having some dinner with some friends, and the table next to him could not stop saying the N-word. And in, it wasn't, they weren't directing it at anyone in particular, but there were people, there are African Americans who were in the restaurant at the time. The staff wasn't doing anything to stop them. The guy's like, is this really appropriate? And the guy's attitude was something to the effect of, well, they could, if African Americans could say it, we could say it. Freedom of speech. You know, like, wow, really?
It's
really?
Part of their typical vocabulary. And you know, yeah, they're doing it intentionally because they see other African Americans.
Well, like, oh, they feel safe.
Right.
They're the cockroaches at night before the light goes on in the kitchen. They feel as if they're safe out there so that they can say what they need to say. You know, Chaska, it sounds like you've got some issues. It's, yeah, that's not going to be a smudge that goes away too easily. You're going to have, that one's going to sting for a little bit. The other story I want to have is just a recap of, remember when the U.S. women's team, I think they beat up on Thailand in a World Cup game. It was 13-0. And I said, you know what, proud of the USA. They won the whole thing, did great. They're amazing players. I mean, just the level of soccer is outstanding. They're just pretty spectacular. But they kept celebrating each of these goals. And they just, you know, the ninth goal and the 10th goal and the 11th goal and the 12th goal and the 13th goal, they all celebrated them like it was the overtime championship clinching goal against this poor Thailand team who basically, and as I said at the time, they have annihilated that program. You know, and you can say anything you like. Thailand will never have a viable soccer program again, thanks to the United States. Because why? Why would the government fund another team just to see them go get dismantled by the United States again? Why? And I know the US team was, well, that was never our intent. Well, yeah, but, you know, after the ninth goal, take the ball out of the thing, take it back to the midcourt, high-five each other, but, you know, jumping around, celebrating like you're going crazy. I said, you send a message. You send a message, and you send that this is the case. So, yesterday, I am out in a soccer field out, I think it was in Excelsior. It might have been Minnetonka. Far western Minnetonka, and I'm sitting out there watching a soccer match. Now, this is a team my daughter is part of, but it's not her primary team, and so she doesn't really practice with this team that much. And there, but it was a Sunday game. She didn't have anything else going on. She goes, "Can I go out and play?" I said, "Sure." It's not the greatest soccer team. As a matter of fact, the Bad News Bears theme from Carmen starts playing. They're out there. You know, four guys running for the ball, and boom, they're all on their back, lying down. The ball's still there. That sort of thing. You know, the person picking up, you know, the goalie picking up dandelions as the ball goes into the goal behind them, that sort of thing. Not the greatest team. And, of course, they're taking on this soccer bot squad from, I think it was Lakeville. You know, these girls who, you know, I'm presuming have been kept in a hermetically sealed camp someplace since they were 3 years old playing soccer. And they all get there, and like the first thing you notice, like, are they all, like, you know, half a foot to a foot taller than the rest of the team? How in the heck did this happen? And of course, yeah, they went out there and annihilated the other team. Now, okay, people, no one's winning the college scholarship with a bunch of 12-year-olds playing soccer in a September afternoon, you know, on a Sunday. No one's winning the cup. No one's taking the picture and blowing it up on the wall saying, "That was the game, baby! That was the game! Woo!" You know, no one's doing that. No one's doing that. But yet, by the time, and it was very USA Thailand as far as the score goes. I think it was 12-0 by the time it was all over. It was ugly. And, you know, but it did not stop the players, the parents, and the coaches from celebrating every single goal I mean, when they clear, I mean, it was clear that this was, they shouldn't even have scheduled this game. And this team was so far beneath them. It should have not been scheduled. But as opposed to like the World Cup, you know, they could have said, the Washington Generals, sure, the Globetrotters would love to play them again, you know, that sort of thing. It was. But it didn't stop. And at the end of it, they actually did a dance routine cheer celebration. And as my own daughter comes off the field, she goes, why are they doing that? I said, I don't know. Is this validation? And as I was driving home, I said, you know, is how much of this is kind of this mentality of, you know, the Cobra Kai thing? You know, you break him, kill him, sweep the leg, Johnny. It is.
Finish him.
How much of it? You know, these kids, they wanted to go home. They didn't want to be out there. It was a little rainy. It was cool. It was drizzly. You know, they probably could have said, you want to play the second half or just go? No, they go. They were probably, well, we'll go. But the reality is, it's just, I really do hope. And for this reason, folks, I understand. If you are, a la the fans of the Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers for all those years when they hated the new rule changes that came in because they said to themselves, well, we don't think us winning the Super Bowl every 2 or 3 years is a bad thing. No, you don't. Well, really, wow, what a miracle that is, you know? But the reality was that it was demeaning the product overall, and that was why the NFL had to change the things up. Well, the same thing goes here. It does you no good to not have other teams to play. And the question I have is, how many of those girls on the team that lost next year are going to be like, grab my cleats, off I go? Half? There's a reason why participation in sports is going down. And it's because of crap like that. Now, I'm not saying you don't try to win. I'm not saying there. But the coach and the parents should have said, okay, after the seventh goal, you're up 7-0. Just get the ball. Take it, maybe a high five. Take it up to the middle field and then just keep playing on. You know? And I'm not saying that you even stop trying to score. It's just the 1980s Reagan America rubbing their faces in it, win at all cost, that was kind of displayed by the USA women's team when they beat the living daylights out of Thailand. You do more damage. And yeah, you are hurting these other programs. And eventually what you're going to get is, you know, 5% of the kids participating in soccer or any sport and the rest of them at home. Because what's the point? I don't want to go on out there and get outscored in a hockey game 20-0 or lose a baseball game 14-0. They call the game after the third inning. I don't want to go out and play a football game where I'm routed 70-0. And this is the end result of all of this. And, you know, there's a way to do it. And I'm not saying you quit. And I'm not saying you don't try. And I'm not saying that. It's just that stop. You know, you can still win and you can still blow out another team, but just ask yourself, are you doing more damage by rubbing their noses in it? And the reality is you are. And you kind of look like jackasses. If I can just say, when the girls are out there crying on the field, when the goalie's out there crying because she can't stop a ball and you're out there like, finish her! You know, she's, you know, come on. Tone it down. No one won anything yesterday, because if that really was the big victory, you're putting the poster up on the wall, that's really sad. It's really, really sad. Look at him. It's little Billy. He's the T-ball champion of the YMCA. Really? Really? Wow. That's going to be a long life. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Come on back. I want to talk a little bit about what happened in Richfield, this police shooting that happened that was live streamed online. We'll talk about that when we do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Eat fresh and support local farmers by shopping at the Minneapolis Farmers Market. It's peak time at the Farmers Market. Lots of sweet corn, eggplants, fresh and local fruits and vegetables, meat and farmstead goods. Keep the summer bounty all year long because it's a great time to pickle and can. Look for the cucumbers, incredible deal, canning tomatoes. The Minneapolis Farmers Market is open every day, 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. Plus, there's additional locations, Tuesdays at the Hennepin County Government Center and Thursdays at Nicollet Mall. More details at mplsfarmersmarket.com.
Food nourishes us. We need food to live. But how are we nourishing the food system? Well, actually, we're throwing a bunch of chemicals and we're making the dirt dead, and then we're adding nitrates to the water and we're causing dead zones in the ocean. Oh, and we're also causing climate change. We do that with every bite we eat. But we can create something different. We can switch to a regenerative system. And that's what we talk about every week on Food Freedom Radio. So tune to Food Freedom Radio Saturdays at 8 a.m. or anytime via podcast. Food Freedom Radio on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. For your next vehicle purchase, there are many reasons to choose Rudy Luther. First, their top-notch staff from top to bottom is wonderful, friendly, and always ready to help. Another, the Luther Advantage card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at holiday station stores, as well as discounted car washes. The Luther Advantage card keeps you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle. Find out more at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
In today's challenging world, many of us are asking, but what can I do? I'm Gail Shore with Cultural Jambalaya, and I ask the same question, so I formed a small nonprofit to try to make a difference. We create educational videos featuring my global photography and cultural experiences that we offer to teachers without charge to broaden worldviews of their students. These videos help to break down cultural barriers and promote understanding and respect for all people. That's what we do. We also know that there are many others doing great work, and we recognize them at our annual Diversity Awards. This year, we'll celebrate students from Stillwater, Asian American leaders, and educators from South St. Paul and Rochester. The Cultural Jambalaya Diversity Awards will take place Thursday, October 3rd at the Metropolitan in Golden Valley.
And while tickets for the Cultural Jambalaya are now sold out, you can still follow along what's happening by going to their social media accounts. Just search Cultural Jambalaya or visit their website at culturaljam.org. That's culturaljam.org.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Hey, by the way, I did want to make sure I mentioned one more time, Todd Colet is sponsoring AM 950 Radio. You can too, 952-946-8885, 952-946-8885. A great way for you to help keep this programming on the air. Todd lives in Spain, can't visit many of our local businesses, so he sponsors the show, and we do appreciate that. We the People March comes up here on Saturday, September 21st in Minneapolis. You can get information on it. There's a link on social media, both the pages, the Twitter page and the Facebook page. Find that link there and be part of that. Remind the leaders that we are, of course, the people, and they are supposed to represent us. We the People March, once again, that is on Saturday, September 21st. Details will be up online. Thank you very much for Todd for sponsoring. And once again, 952-946-8885, 952-946-8885 for more information on sponsoring the radio station. So I want to talk a little bit about what happened here, because I already know I'm going to make some people mad, but I'm going to also be very clear, and I won't take any calls until I get through the whole thing here, but I'm very clear here. It is disturbing what we basically consider to be an executable offense nowadays in this country. That we have given the power of judge, jury, and executioner to police officers. And all they have to do is tilt the gun down. That's all they have to do. But I'll get to that in a second. Police officers fatally shot a man late Saturday night after he led Edina police on a brief police vehicle pursuit and then exited the car in Richfield with what appeared to be a knife. The man, identified as Brian Quinones, 30, of Richfield, posted an apology on social media and live-streamed the pursuit as well. The Hennepin County Sheriff's Office is investigating the shooting. As Quinones' friends and family grieved Sunday, posting messages about their father, painter, and aspiring hip-hop artist on social media, about 170 people gathered on Richfield on Sunday evening for a vigil to remember Quinones and draw attention to the second officer-involved shooting in the Twin Cities in a week. Brian Vince's, a longtime family friend of Quinones, said Quinones was married and had a son. He was born in Puerto Rico, had lived in Minnesota for decades, attended high school in Burnsville. He worked at the General Mills and was a barber on the side. About 10:20 on Saturday, Edina police officers reported to dispatch that a man ran a red light near York Avenue, refused to pull over. A chase ensued into Richfield, where the driver continued running through stoplights, according to emergency dispatch audio. Police forced the vehicle to stop near East 77th Street and Chicago Avenue. Quinones has recorded himself driving and repeatedly glancing in the rearview mirror as flashing red and blue lights tail him in the background. He appears calm, bobbing his head to the radio and occasionally singing along. At the 12-minute mark, he suddenly stops the car, jumps out what appears to be a knife in his right hand. Officers can be heard screaming something unintelligible in the background, then rush forward with their guns drawn. Multiple officers fire at least five times, pause, then fire about five more rounds. Shots fired can be heard over the music. Quinones' phone records recording for another 97 minutes as police secure the scene behind the apartment complex. Hearing the commotion, dozens of nearby residents gather behind the police tape and view Quinones' body. Family members huddled together, sobbing in the rain. They and an increasingly agitated crowd scream for police for using lethal force. In a statement earlier Sunday from Medina, Richfield police said the officers from the department had responded that no officers had been injured. Okay, let's now I don't want to necessarily start with the, well, he could have killed someone. Absolutely. But did he? No. And executing people for hypothetical crimes is a pretty crappy thing to suggest is a legit thing to do. Is he, you know, I imagine we're going to get the standard, you know, he was a Nazi alien zombie demon. He was going to steal their souls. He was going to whittle a little doll out of wood of each one of them and steal their souls. They had no option. No, that's not the case. The crimes that I am seeing from being described here is failing to stop, running red lights, you know, brandishing a weapon, but a knife in a gunfight, let's be honest about it, and refusing police orders. Now, I understand the people out there want to say, well, Matt, he had a knife. Did he throw the knife? Well, if he threw the knife, then he doesn't have a knife anymore. And no one was injured. Are you saying that he was shot at point-blank range? Because it doesn't sound like he was shot at point-blank range. And it sounds like multiple officers had their gun aimed at his head. That is a kill shot. Because he wasn't putting down a knife, you don't have a taser, you can't shoot at his leg. We talked about the Little Falls shooting. Remember that guy that basically sat up and you know, ambushed the kids that were breaking into his house? And, you know, his argument was that even though he had shot the one kid in the hip leg, that he was still afraid. He was going to get up. That's why he had to execute him in the basement by holding a gun to his face and blasting his head off. He wasn't getting up again. I understand you all are convinced that the bad guy in Die Hard is real. That you can shoot him 16 times, you can hang him from a chain up on the top of Nakatomi Plaza, but he's going to come back like a zombie man. But that's not how the real world works. A bullet coming at the velocity as it comes out of your gun is going to hit your leg. It's going to make a small hole in the front of your leg, but the damage it does when it goes through your leg is pretty astronomical. The bone will be shattered and obliterated. You know, you could hit one of the main veins there, and there's the danger of that person bleeding out, and you're probably going to rip a good chunk of the muscle and tendon to shreds. Needless to say, that guy's not getting up. And you can think that he's walking through it. It's not, no. He's one bullet, one leg, boom, down he goes. Down he goes. He could have been high on PCP. Once again, hypothetical. He ran some stoplights. He did brandish a knife at a gunfight. He did not hurt any police officers. He did not throw the knife. He refused to put the knife down. And we consider that a judge, jury, and executioner offense by the police. So the police can do this because of the hypothetical things he could have done. He could be a zombie demon Nazi creature. No, he couldn't. And regardless, you give him a day in court. I think we can first say the obvious thing. Who here doesn't believe that this kid was white, that he'd basically be alive? I believe he'd be alive if he was white. I really do. I honestly do. If the same exact scenario, he hops out of the car with the knife in his hand, that they would either have tasered him or they would have talked him down. Hey, let's go get a cup of coffee, or they would have shot him in the leg.
Look at all the white mass shooters that go and they get taken alive.
Yep, exactly. So I think that's my first thing I'm going to say is I think this guy is more than likely dead because he was not white. That being said, it's regardless. Who the hell is training these cops that headshots are your first option? Well, Matt, he could have had a knife. You got body armor, right? Don't we give you military-grade body armor and weaponry and night goggles and weaponry that you can take the guy's legs out? Why the execution? Why? And don't give me this crap. You can put a bullet in his legs, and for God's sakes, if every one of you guys was aiming for his legs, you would have hit his legs a few times. He was not going to get up. And then you go there with your body armor, you put your foot on his chest, smack the knife out of his hand, get the guy in the medical detention, read him his rights, and put him into jail. Ta-da! This execution for execution's sake crap doesn't fly. Running a red light and stoplights is not an executionable offense in Minnesota. Disrespecting a police officer's orders is not an executionable defense. Brandishing a weapon, but not hurting anyone with a weapon, is not an executionable defense. Was he like a vampire on top of a cop getting ready to stab him? No! No one was injured. He was shot from a distance by numerous guns, most of which were aimed at his head. Head. And don't give me this, well, the legs are harder. Legs are a lot easier to hit than the head is. Head's small compared to the legs. It's tragic that this guy, is dead. It is. And I'm not saying he's innocent. I mean, he probably should be in jail. And he, by the sounds of it, he clearly needs some mental help. He needed some mental help. He did. But this, no blood, no foul crap on the cops for basically, why are you teaching these guys to take headshots? They didn't even teach us to do that in the military, for God's sakes. If you wanted to capture someone alive in the military, when you're in combat zone, the army doesn't take, if you want to take the guy alive, which should be the goal of the police, not, summary executions. You should want to take these people alive, aim for their hip. Aim for their leg. Dear God, it just, and it's sad because like I said, this guy, he sounds like he had some problems and he definitely, he was definitely breaking the law, but was he breaking the law at a level which would have garnered him in the state of Minnesota the charges of the penalty of execution if he was found guilty? Not even close. Not even freaking close. But that's exactly what happened. But Matt, he could have been on PCP. But Matt, he could have killed someone in his car. But Matt, he could have killed someone with his knife. But he didn't do any of those things. You want to validate the execution on the hypothetical crimes, and that's not legitimate. It isn't in any way, shape, or form. Same day, different suburb. Jeff is in Minneapolis. Let's get him on in here. Jeff, thank you very much for holding.
Thanks, Matt. I just want to say, as a fellow Puerto Rican, my sympathy to the family of the fallen victim. And I've been very upset about it. I wish you'll indulge me for a second. And you're right. There are things that the police department can do non-lethal force. Stun guns, taser, pepper spray that shoots 30, 40 yards. This guy was murdered, and I hope that the cops that shot him are brought to trial. There was no sense. Obviously, yes, he committed a crime, but I believe in my heart, and I don't know this for a fact, that he probably had some mental problems, and he could have gotten help. And I think you were spot on by saying that, they could have got somebody there to talk him down, to say, hey, pal, you got to put it down. We'll get somebody here to help you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the police force has become militaristic, and
they've become militaristic.
I'm trying to be nice. They have become militaristic. I'd like to know if these police officers, were in the military and served in urban combat such as Iraq, But I'm just so disgusted about this. And my heart is broken for the family, and that's all I have to say.
And Jeff, thank you very much. And once again, in the military, they trained us. If you do want to take someone alive, aim for their legs. So, I mean, the police have been militarized. Well, the military doesn't teach you how to do this stuff. You know, I don't know where the hell this comes from, this mentality of shoot first. But, you know, he's exactly right. And I don't get me wrong. And he said, well, I hope that they get charged. They're not going to. Why? Because the Republicans in the state have written the law. So all the officer has to do is go, I was scared. And well, that's, I mean, I've already said it. An officer off duty could get drunk as a skunk in a bar. Say to everyone in the bar, I'm going to kill that guy over there. Go home, get his gun, come back to the bar, shoot the guy, and there's a very decent chance he's going to get off of the hook because all he has to do is say, I was scared. And it admonishes all actions. It admonishes all actions. And I don't, like I said, how did we get to a point where running stoplights and not following police orders and holding a knife in your hand are all death penalty sentences? Because I can tell you right now, I really doubt that guy would be dead if he was white. I really doubt he'd be dead if he was white. If this was in Minnetonka or in Maple Grove or in Woodbury, I'm going to guess that's what the caller just said would have happened exactly. Hey, buddy, I tell you what, just put the knife down. We're going to take you into a hospital. We're going to get you some help. You don't want to go out like this. This is not what it is. And we're not going to shoot you in the head. We're going to shoot you in the leg, and you're going to be limping for the rest of your life. Come on. Don't do this. Just don't do this. And you want to know the truth is, if you tell me the truth, wouldn't that be if you looked at them and said it like that? Pal, you might want to charge us, but we're going to shoot you in the leg, and you're going to limp for the rest of your life. You might even be in a wheelchair for the rest of your life because of this. Don't do it. Put the knife down and come on over. As opposed to, drop it down, bang, 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 bang. I was aiming for his head. Where are you? Wow. Such a compassionate police officer thing. Like I said, same day, different suburb. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Take a break, come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
I'm Rick Unger. You've heard the screamers, you've heard the shouters, the haters, the beraters. Well, now it's time to listen to a real conversation, a rational conversation. Now it's time for the Rick Unger Show.
Listen to the Rick Unger Show every weekday from 5 to 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Stream at am950radio.com or search KTNF on the TuneIn app.
The Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul is the perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Offering daily fresh seafood specials, fire-roasted meats, exquisite pizza, and half-price bottles of wine on Mondays and Tuesdays, except on Xcel Energy event nights. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, extensive wine list, and bar, you'll be back for more. Gift certificates and private dining room for parties available. Located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Hey everyone, Ellie Krug here from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. This month, I'm sharing about opportunities to hear me in person. I'm having an open house on Thursday, October 17th in Minneapolis. Come hear about my work and about my nonprofit, Human Ripple Works, Inc. You need to register. There's no charge, but I need a head count. To register, go to elliekrug.com and see the upcoming engagements page. Scroll down, click on the link for October 17th to register. That's me, Ellie the Idealist, trying to make the world better. Hope to see you.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Reminder, once again, the AM 950 debate watching party coming up here Thursday at the Park Tavern. Lots of good progressives going to be out there. Also, they're going to have some great appetizers there from the Park Tavern. You can check in a half an hour before the debate starts, which is 6:30. We're going to open the doors. The debate starts at 7. Get in there. We're in the 11th frame in the Park Tavern, a great place to be. It's going to be a lot of fun. Stop by and join us. Of course, as well, the Park Tavern will have drink specials, as well as also you can peruse their own menu, and trust me, their menu is sensational. So stop on by. It is the Park Tavern, Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park. And for tickets, go to am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. We'd love to see you out. At the Park Tavern on Thursday. I'll be out there. I know most of the rest of the crew will be out there as well. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Chapter 12 bankruptcy filings in Minnesota jumped 44% between 2017 and 2018. That figure appeared likely to climb again in 2019 as bankruptcy filings for the first 7 months in 2019 came out in 80% higher than the time frame from last year. That's according to statistics from the United States Banking Court and the District of Minnesota. Chapter 12 is designated for family farmers and family fishermen under distress that write a plan to pay back creditors in 3 to 5 years. Others skipped bankruptcy and decided to sell the farm altogether. There's no doubt about it. There are some serious financial and emotional challenges out there in agriculture, said Kevin Papp, president of the Minnesota Farm Bureau. Everything is kind of stockpiling, and it feels like, and we're losing our export markets, but we're also losing our ethanol markets. So it's kind of a double whammy on both sides of the farm gate. Once again, if you didn't know, Trump has offered all the refineries exemptions from ethanol. So and that has finally has started to wake up the farmers that maybe, just maybe, this ag policy might not be on their behalf. But sadly enough, there are plenty of farmers out there that when the auction Trump truck rolls on in, they'll still insist that, you know, we love Trump. Papp and Wirtish said they heard that farmers, lenders, and farm bankers that anxiety in farm country is widespread ahead of this year's harvest, but the increase in bankruptcy filings even before harvest time raised concerns about what lie ahead this fall. Minnesota Farm Bureau and Minnesota Farmers Union groups are both set to travel to D.C. next week to speak with members of Congress about potential paths forward. Papp and Wirtish both said they hope to engage conversations about reaching and ratifying trade deals, reopening markets, as well as limiting the use of small refinery hardship waivers, which have curbed the demands for corn in biofuels. This is Wirtish. This is, once again, and these are guys that this is where they're starting to wake up. These are guys that have been programmed to vote Republican and that no Republican has ever done anything wrong. And they're doing this as they watch their farms disappear. Quote from Wirtish. We have to take the politics out of it. If the policies are having disastrous effect on us, we have to speak up. And you're right. And you're absolutely right. And the sad part is that I knew this is exactly when he said trade wars are easy. I knew you guys were screwed. And your margins are not great in a good year. They've lost. It was interesting. I was looking at this. They've lost. They basically go, Canada's imports are 9% less than Minnesota. China's are 3% less. That was before the new tariffs kicked in, and Mexico was even less, 1% less. Those are our three highest trading partners. We are getting destroyed. Democrats, DFL, you need to get out into those farm districts, because you know what? They need the option to say, we're going to try to save your farm. The Republicans are trying to kill you. We're here to try to save it. We're back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.